The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the first chapter. Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save the people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. The Gospel of the Lord. I'm not supposed to be here, just so you know. Just ask me when I was 13 years old, there was no way in the world I was going to be a pastor. And then, when I found out that I would be a pastor, I got my first church in North Carolina, which is home. That's where I was going to be. And I was never again going to live in South Carolina. Worked out well. And after serving 6 years in a church by myself, I was never going to be anybody's associate. Also, worked out well. Because in 2006, I was called to be the pastor of Nurture and Outreach, fancy for associate, at Pilgrim Lutheran Church across town. And the way that being an associate works is I was coterminous, which meant that if the senior pastor resigned, I had to resign as well, because we were sort of a package deal. And so about 4.5 years later, he and his family moved to Texas, and so he resigned, and so I resigned. But the way it usually works is that the associate has a little bit of time to find another job, to find another call, and they usually serve as an interim during that period. But I was the first associate ever at that church, and they really didn't know that, so they gave me a nice 6 weeks severance package on the way out the door. Now, for any of you who have ever been involved in the call process or on the call committee, I'll just let you know that when I started to talk to Pisgah, it was like late September, and my first day was February the 1st. That ain't 6 weeks. But on week number 7, I started at Summer Memorial Lutheran Church in Newberry. Now, the one problem with that was Newberry County at the time, which was a wonderful place. Stacy's father grew up there, and her grandmother still lived there. Wonderful place. Great congregation, but Newberry County was on a hiring freeze with their teachers. I'm married to a teacher. So I told him at the time, you know, we're going to have to commute for a year, which was all well and good there in 2010. And then 2011 and 12 rolled around. And if you have anything to do with building or real estate, you know that that's when the housing market crashed. And so I continued to commute 45 minutes to an hour one way to Newberry every day for 5.5 years. Eventually, though, I wanted to find out why in the world God had left us in Lexington, and so I did all I could do. I went to the Senate office and said, I want to interview one church, just one church, and if that works out, great, and if not, we'll move to Newberry. Well, see, that's not supposed to happen. Usually when you put your name in, it goes everywhere. It just went here. And so here I am. Even though I'm not supposed to be here. You know, some people are great at scheduling out their days. You know, how at 10 o'clock this happens and at 11 o'clock this happens. And they've got all of these checklists, you know. And they're great at planning out exactly how something's supposed to happen until it doesn't happen that way. But even if you don't do your days like that, I think we all do that with our lives, don't we? Don't we all have some dream of how things are supposed to happen, the way that it's supposed to look? We start when we're kids. Well, I'm supposed to be this when I grow up, and I'm going to marry somebody like this, and I'm going to live here. Well, those dreams never go away, do they? We have plans on what our house is going to be like, where our house is going to be, how much money we're going to make, what kind of job we're going to have, what's our spouse going to be like, what are our kids going to be like, how many kids are we going to have, what kind of car are we going to drive. We make all of these plans about how life is supposed to happen, don't we? But sometimes life just don't turn out like it's supposed to happen, does it? Just ask Joseph. Things were probably going pretty well for Joe. You know, he was engaged. Cute young girl, we assume. She is in all the pictures. So, he was engaged to be married, and then all of a sudden, his fiance showed up pregnant. Now, in today's terms, that's a problem. In those days, that's a catastrophe. Because, first of all, an engagement in today's terms is an agreement between two people. Back then, it was a contract between the groom-to-be and her father, the bride's father. And so this was a legally binding contract because women, well, they weren't treated as women back then. They were treated more like property. And so it was a transaction between the father and son-in-law. And so by getting pregnant, she had broken that contract. And according to the Old Testament, the punishment for that was death. Now, in those days, that wasn't always the penalty, but still, it would be utter public humiliation. And so Joseph finds out that his bride-to-be was pregnant, and he was well aware that it was not his. That's not what was supposed to happen. But then, as we know, Joseph has a dream. And in that dream, an angel of the Lord comes to him and says, Joseph, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife because the baby that she's carrying is of the Holy Spirit. And he will be the Savior of the world. And she will give birth to a son and you will name him Jesus. That was not supposed to happen. That's not the way I'm sure that he had planned out his life, and yet his plan was different than God's design. Because God had a different design for that, and we know that by going all the way back to the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, and it's quoted in Scripture, it says, "And behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel." And then, why in the world would Joseph have to be the one to get mixed up in this? Because Joseph just happened to be descended from David. Wasn't what was supposed to happen, but it was all part of God's design. See, my friends, as we go through life, things are going to happen that we don't think should happen. Things that we don't expect, things that we didn't plan for. And the problem is sometimes we get caught in this, well, it's not supposed to be that way land. You know, we think things are supposed to be fair or just, or they're supposed to work out one way, and when they don't, we just get caught in this spin cycle of self-doubt and self-pity. We get caught in the anger of that's not the way I wanted it to be. Because a lot of times when it turns out to how we think it's supposed to be, it's all about us. It's all about what we want and what we think. But what we find here is that God's design is so much better than what our plans are. We just have to sit back and trust. And so today, as we gear up for Christmas and all the things that are going to be going on with Christmas, I'm going to give you a little bit of a break. Because today I want to tell you, it's not all up to you. It's not up to you to figure out how things are supposed to be. And it's okay for you to be wrong about how you thought they were supposed to be. Because God has a plan. God has a design for each and every person here. Look, there was a reason that Joseph was picked. Because he was engaged to Mary, and he was of the descendant of David. Just like there's a reason that you have been chosen. You are who you are, where you are, when you are, what you are, for a reason. It's because you are part of God's grand design. A design that is unlike any other. But it's one that ain't supposed to be that way. Because you see, we follow a king of kings that was born in a barn to a carpenter and his teenage virgin mother. We follow a Savior that did not come in as a conquering hero, but left this world by dying on a cross. But he didn't stay dead. He was raised from the dead. That ain't supposed to happen. And we, as sinful, broken human beings, certainly aren't supposed to be the ones going out and spreading this good news. It's not supposed to be that way. But it is that way. It's not supposed to be our plan. It's all a part of God's design. And you and I are part of that design. We're part of God's plan for this church, for this world, for all time. Because it is us that He sends out into the world to share the good news of our Savior's birth. It ain't supposed to be that way, but it is. Amen.